Again, my friends, on the second Sunday of Easter, it is so good to be together. I wanted to kick us off with a question this morning, and I want you to actually say the answers out loud. What does it look like, or what does it mean to be connected? What does it mean to you to be connected? We'll start with someone. What does it mean to be connected to someone?
Having good communication.
Good communication. Excellent.
Sharing.
Love, caring,
compromise.
We call it negotiations at our house. I don't know what the conversation is after church, but apparently there's compromise. What else?
Not to be alone.
Personal relationship. Trust. Y'all are full of them this morning. This is awesome. Openness and honesty. Happiness to be together. Actually enjoy being together.
Peace of mind.
Friendship. I like those. Peace of mind. When we're connected, we have peace of mind. I like that, Miss Faith. Thank you. Friendship. Anybody else? Throw them out. You got any others?
Security.
Absolutely. Kind of goes along with that peace of mind. Yeah. That's fantastic. Anybody else? I don't want to cut you off.
Facebook friends.
Absolutely. There's lots of ways to be connected. And we think about being connected in all kinds of ways. You can be, you're connected with your family. Sometimes you're connected over distances, but you're not really connected through quantity of time together, right? It kind of builds off of quantity of time. We have a kind of a joke saying at our house, but it's true that quantity of time leads to quality time. If you ever tried to craft those quality moments and just throw a few of them in throughout a year or whatever it is, you know, normally they don't turn out the way you want them to, but it always seems to be the moments where you're just living life together, and it's usually the moments where something kind of goes haywire or somebody acts like a version of themselves that they probably don't act like around other people, and those are the moments that become quality of time, and those are the memories we share. And often when you get back together, you probably tell those stories over and over and over, because when you tell those stories over and over and you all remember them together, what do you feel? Connected, don't you? And it brings us peace of mind and security from that standpoint. And it brings us joy and happiness. And we're reflecting on the friendships that we have. What does it mean to be connected to the world? What does that look like? What does that mean? It's not a trick. This isn't a, you shouldn't be connected to the world. I got you now. No, what does it mean to be connected? The internet. Yeah, you're literally connected. Yes, there is a wire that connects me to all the other wires in the world. Yeah. Awareness, okay?
Empathy.
I love it, absolutely. That's a really good one, Jim, thank you. Having a purpose. Mr. Frank, that's deep. Thank you very much, yeah. Absolutely.
Understanding?
Understanding? That's good. Sometimes our phones? Yeah, absolutely. Being selfless? Nobody said their news channel. I just want to point that out, right? Being selfless is a connection to the world.
Compassion.
Compassion. Goes right along with that empathy and selflessness too. Yeah.
Knowing history.
Or else you're doomed to repeat it. That's right. What was somebody over here? I'm sorry. Painful experiences. Yeah. Being connected personally or to the world sometimes doesn't always turn out the way we intended or the way we thought it would. Over here, somebody? I thought I heard somebody. Okay. Being open.
Having a shared culture or tradition.
Having shared traditions or culture. Yeah. Absolutely. I know for me, when we go back and we see family, that's usually one of the places where we kind of share those traditions, or as our family unit, we try to create those traditions each year, the traditions of things like compromise, and but we try to build those into the life that we have together, and we try to repeat those because it does. It brings some meaning and makes us feel connected as a family, but sometimes there's larger traditions that we're a part of, right, that make us feel connected to people who we don't even really know. Like, how many of you, when somebody asks you where you're from, you say you're Irish?
Anybody? All of you say you're Irish on St. Patrick's Day. I've seen your Facebook posts. Yeah. Right? All right, anybody else? What does it mean to be connected to the world? Service work. Giving back, that's good. Patience. Missions.
Opening yourself to the world's
needs. Okay, opening ourselves to the world's needs. Being aware of the world's needs. Listening to other people. I think those all fit, absolutely. Anybody else? Those are wonderful. Y'all should have preached the sermon today. I wish I had thought of those before I got up here. Okay, so being connected to nature, not just kind of tucked away from it. I think so, absolutely. Well, today we are going to look at, and we're beginning a series called The Fruit of a Living Faith, and we're going to be talking through John 15 over the course of the next several weeks. So if you're looking for a place to study, to maybe memorize some scriptures or to jump in, we're going to kind of be walking sort of slowly through John 15, where Jesus talks about the vine and being the vine and being connected to the vine, and God is the vine grower. God is the gardener, right? So we're gonna be walking through this, but I'm gonna tell you a little bit of the thesis as we get going this morning. Is that this is a pericope, this is a story about being connected. Now, a lot of times we look at this and we begin to think just about the fruit, or we begin to think about the pruning or whatever it is. But I want to lay out an overarching thing as we walk through it the next few weeks. This is a teaching. This is a lesson about being connected. This is Jesus's, or part of Jesus's, farewell discourse. He knows he is leaving the disciples behind. He knows he was getting ready for Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. And this is what he left him. This is what he left them with. These were the people who were going to carry on his tradition. These were the people who were going to carry on faith and peace and joy and love in this location. Now, they were also the people who were going to carry it on in their current time, right? It wasn't just for a one day, someday, maybe if. It wasn't for the next generation to take hold of. It was for them. And I believe that these words are for us today too, for us in our current context, that we are not a maybe one day, if someday people. We are a people of now and here and connectedness to each other, to the world, to God. And so these words are here for us today. We're going to look at the first few verses of John chapter 15 today. We're going to start with verse 1 and just pause it up there as we go through. Verse 1 says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper." Some people, instead of vineyard keeper, it says the gardener. Now, among all of the stories, you know, Jesus begins to tell people that he is the bread and he is the shepherd, right? He is the great I am. And all throughout Scripture, there's references to vines. We have in Mark, we have the workers who are trying to take over the vineyard, right? And they want to take the vineyard for themselves. But here we have Jesus claiming that he is the true vine and that God is the gardener. And what we begin to see in this moment and in this set of pericopes is that Jesus' claim is that the health of the vine determines the quality of the fruit. The health of the vine determines the quality of the fruit. Now, there's some good news in this one little verse. Are you ready? You're not the vine. It doesn't all depend on you. Maybe sometimes you feel that way, and maybe you're sitting there going, "Whew, thank goodness. I just really wanted to go to Shoney's," right? We have to go to Shoney's in another town now, right? We don't have a Shoney's anymore. It got pruned. We're going to talk about that. All right? So the Jesus is the vine and not us. And that is good news for the people of God. That is good news for the disciples. That is good news who will carry the mission of God forward. It doesn't all depend on us. Now, does it require something of us? Absolutely. Does it mean something to us? Absolutely. Do we have to stay connected to the vine? Absolutely. But we ourselves are not the vine. Now, when Nikki and I first got married, We had bought this house, and it was just outside of Athens, Georgia, where we had met and we were living and working. And it had a rose bush on the side of the house growing up a trellis. okay? And it was really pretty. I love the outdoors. I decided we were going to have a very nice yard. It took about 2 years till I decided I didn't care anymore, right? Who's got 4 hours every Saturday? But anyway, but we had this rose bush that grew on the outside. And the first year when we moved in, it was blooming and there were all these beautiful roses on it. And it just looked absolutely fantastic. And we could go pick one or two and take it in. We didn't do anything. We just kind of, every once in a while I'd water it, but I really didn't know what I was doing. It probably just got water from the rain. But then the next year, there were less and less of those buds and less and less and less and less. And over time, they didn't look very good, and the branches began to droop. And so I Googled it like any millennial does, and I learned you got to prune it. So I started cutting off some of the branches. Now, I didn't know exactly what I was doing, but I was doing something. If something appeared to be dead, if it was kind of dry and broken and bent over or cracked, I knew I could cut that off. If there was somewhere where some of that actually met with some of the living stuff, I'd try to find a place in between. I was reading up on it this week, getting ready, and I read that you're supposed to cut a 45-degree angle right after one of the little buds that's starting to come out, right? Do I have some gardeners nodding? I may be wrong. Google may be wrong, actually, not me. Just repeating. And then after I cut them back, that year we had so many roses. It was beautiful again. We had more than we had had before. They seemed to be bigger and fuller, and I don't know if that was just a product of pruning and cutting back or if it was because all of the Miracle-Gro without dilution that we used. I'm just teasing. We didn't. I don't think I did. But in that moment, we learned about this thing that we sometimes use, this word in the church called pruning. And in our various translations, the one today actually talks about trimming. Verse 2a jumps in and says, he removes any branches that don't produce fruit. Now, when we start to talk about pruning, there's this quote that I love because we're going to talk about the difference between what it looks like to be cut off and what it looks like to be cut back, because those feel like two very different things, don't they? There was a quote that I heard, and I tried to find the original person who said it. I thought it was Fred Craddock, but I couldn't find it, so this is not for me. But he just simply said, or I think it was him anyway, said, the scary thing about pruning is when it's happening, you don't know if you're being cut off or if you're being cut back. And honestly, it hurts the same, right? So the scary thing about pruning is we don't know if we're being cut off or if we're being cut back, because in the moment, it hurts the same, but over time, we'll understand a little better. You see, a life requires pruning. You hear people talk about in leadership principles, oh, it's about all the things you say no to, not the things you say yes to. We set boundaries and we do all these things. We know that in life, sometimes it's time for certain parts to go away. It's time to prune off or to trim back the things that aren't working. We know that life requires some level of pruning. Now, it hurts when it's happening to us. It hurts when it is us. But it requires some. And faith is the same way. Faith requires some pruning, some maintenance, some upkeep. And in this moment, if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, I believe one of the images we get is that Jesus feels it too. That Jesus is with us in these moments. Here leading right after Easter, we know that Jesus feels the pain that we often feel, that Jesus has been through some of the things that we may go through or have gone through. We believe that Jesus feels it too. Now, sometimes people take this verse and they think that it applies to those who believe versus those who don't believe, but that's not what we get from looking at the whole, the believer or the non-believer alike get pruned. And the real fear we have as people of faith, but just people in general, is that we will be the ones that get cut off, that is going to hurt, that we are the dead, fractured, and cracking branches that need to be trimmed off and thrown away. And maybe it starts to feel like a stage of life feels that way. Maybe it starts to feel like our health feels that way. Maybe it starts to feel like when our kids move off, it feels that way. There's all kinds of moments in life where we begin to feel that way. We get into the second part of verse 2. And it says, he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. So we kind of have two different types of pruning that are happening here. One, we have pruning that is cutting off the branches that aren't producing fruit. But then we also have cutting back the branches that are producing fruit, but maybe they're not good for the strength of the whole or the production of the whole. And there's this getting cut back. And it hurts the same. Now, this verse, depending on kind of your context and perspective, is really difficult. And we're going to talk just for a second about kind of the difficulty we find and the fear that this verse induces. And we're going to come out of it with hope. Because when I see this verse, I understand how we get to the fear and I understand how we get to the difficulty. But what I see is a verse of hope. You've heard us talk about it before, and I'm sure that you've read about it, but there's this fancy word called theodicy, but it essentially means, what does God do with evil in the world? And sometimes we begin to think that our suffering, our pain, our hurts were done by God, right? Sometimes you go to something like, heaven forbid somebody loses a loved one, especially a child, and somebody walks in and says, God just needed another little angel, right? And I'm not going to step on you here. You may have said that in your life. It's not to make you feel bad, but that's just simply not true. Now, in a moment, if a family person, an individual in that family is hurting, and that brings them some comfort, we're not going to correct it. But if a well-meaning church member comes in and tells them that God took their baby, that is just simply not true and it should be corrected. The pain and suffering of life is a part of life, unfortunately. And some people suffer more than others. We see this when we look around the world and then we talk about how blessed we are. Pain and suffering are a part of life. And sometimes we find meaning in our own pain and suffering. Sometimes we look back and realize that if we had not gone through that moment, we wouldn't have come out the other side, the people we are glad that we are. But even when we find meaning in my pain and suffering, doesn't mean that that's the causation of it. Even though I find meaning in my pain and suffering, doesn't mean that it's something that God gave me. People outside of these walls see us sometimes. And I'm not saying us necessarily in this room, but us Big C Christians around the world. I remember when a hurricane hit New Orleans and somebody said that was the finger of God. Right? And here in a place where we've had tornadoes, that is not true. Why does it happen? Totally valid question. Is it God's wrath or smite or somebody did something? No. It is not. No matter what your news channel or your grandma says. All right? If you don't want to tell her she's wrong, you can give her my email address. It's bjbrack@twkumc.org. All right? If you're new, he was the previous pastor. He and I are good friends. He's working at the conference office and not in the church, so he's got plenty of time. Okay? He would be happy. He would be happy to talk. This is tough stuff. And so when we read verses like today, it can be easy, and this is where I'm going to leave this, okay? It can be easy to think about the difficulties that we have, the terrible things that are going on in the world, and just ascribe them to God. And it's easy because it removes responsibility from us. And it can give meanings to things where we cannot find meaning, and heaven forbid we're not able to find meaning, because then we will definitely create a conspiracy theory about it, right? These things, they are not God. In verse 3, we find this. It says, you are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, I want you to catch this. This is where we begin to take this idea and this fear of being pruned and turn it into a place of hope. We've already been trimmed. We've already been pruned. Now, does that mean next year we won't have to be pruned? Maybe we will again, but we will be shaped. And here's what I want to tell you this morning is that pruning is not about knowledge or secret knowledge or right action. That's not what we learn in this verse. You see, sometimes we think faith is about believing right. Faith is about doing right. But what this verse is telling us is that faith is about connection to Jesus the Christ. Connection to Jesus is the point. How are we connected to each other? How are we connected to the world? And the question for us as people of God is, how are we connected to Jesus? How do we stay connected to Jesus? We are being cared for by the divine vine grower who knows just how to care for us and develop us. I want you to catch that. If we just focus on the pruning and the fear and the worry, we're going to miss the entire point of the text. We're going to miss the entire point of the story. We're going to miss the next weeks that we begin to walk through, because the point of the story is that God is the gardener. Jesus is the vine. It's not all on us. And who better to care for us than God? The one who knows best how to care for you is doing that. The one who knows what it looks like to develop you is doing that. This is good news. Now, sometimes in our life, we feel like maybe we were the dormant branch. Maybe we're not the dead branch. Maybe we're the branch that hasn't been producing the fruit that whatever we think it might look like. And I'm here to tell you this good news is that the divine gardener is looking after you, and you will produce fruit again. This is great news. And what I love about this is that a branch cannot make itself produce fruit, right? It's just something that happens when it's connected. It doesn't try a little harder. It doesn't read a little more. It doesn't find a TikTok video that tells it the three steps to faith. It stays connected to the branch. It stays connected to the vine. So we, as people of God, we, as a natural part of our pruning, we do ask, what are the places in our life that are not connected to Jesus? What are the areas of our personal lives or our work lives where we have kept Jesus out of it and we are not connected to who God is and to who Jesus is trying to be through us? We need to prune those areas by staying connected to the branch. So we ask ourselves this morning, what makes us feel connected to Jesus? Maybe it's coming to church, the music in church. Maybe it's Sunday school class where you're able to meet with other believers and share about what's going on in your life and get encouragement and inspiration and support when you need it. Maybe it's memorizing scripture. Maybe it's meditating in the morning and spending time with God, or maybe it's just listening. Maybe it's walking a labyrinth. Maybe it's listening to hymns in your car. I don't know what it is. But I can tell you that we need to find the things that help us feel connected to Jesus and keep us connected to Jesus. Because that is the only way we're going to produce fruit. The gentleman I mentioned earlier, Fred Craddock, he was asked. He was a very famous preacher. You haven't heard of him because he was just a famous preacher. That he went on TV, at least in the way Joel Osteen is. They asked him, they said, who is the most meaningful, impactful person in your faith? And they thought he was going to talk about a seminary professor or a president he had met or who knows what it was going to be, right? And he said, a lady's name. He said, Ella Stone. And they said, who is Ella Stone? And he said, she was my elementary school Sunday school teacher. And this is what worked for him. He said, she would tell us to just read the scripture. Just read it and maybe even memorize it. And you just won't believe the number of times real life is going to bump into it. She actually gave them a through Z of scriptures, 26 scriptures. I guess they memorized it all. They're smarter than I was. I am, right? My point here is that was how he found connection with God. Now, if we're doing that task because it's ritual, or because we have to, or because it's law, or because we want to gain some knowledge that maybe we didn't have before, we're not doing it for the right reasons. We're a little bit more like the Pharisees. But if we're doing it to stay connected to who Jesus is and to live that out in our everyday life, we are going to be a fruit-bearing people. You see, God is not done with us yet. No matter how old we are, no matter if we're sick, no matter what may be going on in our lives, God is not done with us yet. But you're not going to be able to bootstrap it the way that you think you are. It's about staying connected to Jesus. I asked Miss Janice, and she went out this morning and actually found this. She actually found a grapevine this morning. Isn't that unbelievable? She's obviously connected to Jesus, right? Now, I thought these were real grapes in the picture, and I was like, no way. She found one with real grapes. That's unbelievable. But it's just a flat piece of paper. But we're going to have this up here as something that we look at, an illustration that we'll watch kind of grow in front of us as we go throughout this series over the next few weeks. I don't know if anything's going to happen with it, but we've got Miss Janice's clippers in here. I don't know if you've seen these before, but these are Miss Janice's murder scissors. They're kind of scary and stabby, but they'll be our... Whenever I ask her to come in the office, she carries those. But we... Hey, Miss Janice. We love you so much. Thank you. We're going to talk about some compromise after church. My friends, we are those branches. Not so that we live in fear of being cut off. Not so that we constantly worry that we don't know enough, or we haven't done enough, or we haven't been forgiven enough, or I'm never going to be forgiven for this terrible thing that I did, or that people think I did, or whatever it may be. It's not for that reason. We are the branches, and we can be fruitful because the divine vine grower, the gardener in God's self, is the one who is looking after us, caring for us, wanting us to bear fruit, and responsible for helping us get there. And that the way we will receive it is through the vine of Jesus Christ. So my friends, as we go from here to be people of God in a world that needs it desperately, the simple question for us is what helps us be connected to Jesus? And we want more of that in our life. What does it look like for you? I believe it's different for every one of us. We may share some similarities and we can share about those, but what are the things that you have done in your life? What are the people? What are the places? What are the disciplines? What is it that helps you feel connected to Jesus? And how can you be a part of growing those in your own life? The gardener just simply asks us to stay connected. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your call in our lives. We are grateful for the ways that you still connect with us. I feel like that's overlooked, is that you are trying to connect with us, that your grace goes before us, has been making a way for us when we had no idea, and you want so desperately to be connected to us. In this Easter season, Lord, we are reminded that you sent your Son to go through terrible things, to teach us, to model for us, to be the pruning on behalf of us, so that we might be able to stay connected to you through him. Lord, help us to stay connected. Help us to trim off the parts that don't connect us and where we're purposely leaving you out. And help us to be a part of more ways where we continue to connect with you. We ask all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.